been a kind of a busy day. I was on the phone for a while, calling down in Mississippi to Brother Danforth, and I made another call also. And it's a very trying our saints, the enemy. It's dangerous, you know. So y'all pray somehow God will undertake for the saints down in Colake, Mississippi. But the main thing that I find out to do is to you can't judge anything without a word of the Lord. And you can't do it. And just try to, the Bible said, love covereth the multitude of sins. So the main thing to do is just let us keep our hearts in tune with the Lord. Let our hearts be filled with the love of God for every human being. Now, even if I knew that a man really was demon possessed, and I really didn't have to pray until I could love him just like I did you. Even though I knew he was demon possessed. See, I've got to pray to the place where I can love him just like I would love one of you. See, because Jesus even told Judas, he says, friend, betrayest thou me? Never did say nothing evil about Judas. And so that's the kind of attitude I want, the kind of spirit I want. And so now let's pray for all of the saints down in Mississippi. I've tried to be a go-between both sides down there, and it's each side uses me to influence the other side. And I told Brother Danforth, and I tell any minister or anybody, I'm on the side of the Lord Jesus first, and he is the Word. And no matter how much I love anybody, I can only be on the side of the Word, you see. And it's a sad, our saint, that if you just, everything that's going on, if you really just didn't watch about it, why, you just get upset and nervous and tore up, and that's the way I've come to service tonight, kind of tore up. But I felt his presence back in there, and Brother Shaw was praying, and I feel better. So, I'm not responsible at this present time. God has not sent me out on the field to be responsible for anybody else outside of my little group. And you're the one that I'm consecrating on at this time. You're the one that I'm responsible for, and you're the one that I'll have to give account to. So therefore, I want to preach to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified in the blood of the Lamb. That's what I want to do. And preach holiness, hellfire and brimstone, and the judgments and the wrath of God to come. And then if I do those things, then maybe God sees fit to send me out in the ministry upon the field. I'll never go. You can trust in this. I'll never go until He sends me. Now that's one thing for sure. I'll never go until He sends me, because anybody in the right mind would not want to enter upon the field today without a word from the Lord. I say if they were in the right mind. A man could be out of his mind and do it, and I believe that would be about the only way that I know. If a man is in his right mind today and was praying, he's either God sent, or he'd better wait upon the Lord, because the enemy's out in terrible force today, and you just don't know how can you do anything if you don't know what to do. Now, we know what we're doing here. We're trying to line up with the Word of God and make everything right. And I believe God has blessed us, and you can feel His presence. And oh, it's just wonderful. And we're growing in grace from day to day. And we love everybody.
Amen.
We're for all the saints in Jefferson.
Amen.
We're for all the saints in Tucson. We're for all the saints in Mississippi.
Amen.
All of them in New York.
Yes.
We're on everybody's side.
Yes.
And we're on Jesus' side.
Amen.
Amen. And we don't care what happens. We're just going to love everybody and stick together. And we are going to have, not maybe so, but we are going to have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the only one thing can stop that outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and that's disunity.
Yes.
That's the only thing can stop it. But where there is unity, there is Jesus Christ. Where unity is, and there is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And that's enough to stimulate me tonight.
Hallelujah.
And keep me going. Because, I want to see it so bad. Just a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The little bride's never seen that, see? But the prophet said that it was on its way now. And so that's what's keeping us going and making us happy. Amen. And so let our lives be seasoned with salt, and let us love one another. And let us remember all, especially Jeffersonville, Indiana. In fact, I remember all the ministers in my prayer life. I call all, that is everyone that I can think of, that I know, and that will come to my mind. I call their names in prayer. Brother Junior Jackson, Brother Don Rowe, Brother Richard Blair, Brother Earl Martin, Brother John Martin, Brother Jack Palmer, and our great servant of the Lord, Brother Armin Neville, and all, just name them one by one. And then I start naming other saints one by one, praying for them. And then if I feel a little funny feeling about anybody, that's the one I really get to pray for. See?
Thank you, Lord.
If I can see something, if I would love this, and just like I'd love the other, then it's something wrong with my spirit. So I stay right there in prayer. I want to stay right there in prayer. One time a man just fought me so bad and talked about me so bad, I got where I get out and pray, and I start to pray for the preachers, and I'd come to his name, and I admit I'd skip it. And I'd be convicted, and I'd say, Lord, that's not right. So I went to that brother and I said, Brother, you forgive me. One time, the tabernacle, God, the Lord moved such a mighty way through Brother Branham. I was so tore up and burdened, I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't stand to see nobody, nothing. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have nothing on my mind other than I just tore up about the message. And I went right in Brother Branham's office. Now, I had to be desperate to pray to go in Brother Branham's office. I went, opened that door, brother, and I went right in there. And brother, I could barely make it there. I was so just doubled over, wanting to pray so bad. And I fell down there, began to agonize in prayer, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, go to that man.
Thank you.
Oh, buddy, I mean, there I went. I went to him and I said, Brother, look here. I prayed. If I have ever done anything to you, I don't know what it is, if I have, but I believe you're against me, and I want you to forgive me if I've ever done any evil against you. And boy, I cleared myself with him, and then he had to come around and clear himself with me. Years later, but God worked it all out. I'm glad. But then I could get down and I could say, oh, God bless that brother, Lord.
Yeah.
See? And oh, that's the way I want my heart to be. See, I don't want to somebody, and I get to be praying, and then I'd skip their name, see. Oh, my, God help me. I don't want to ever get in that shape, do you?
No.
Brother, if they just hate me, I want to get right down there and just love them and love them. Like Brother Brown said, that brother called him on the phone in Jesus' name, brother, and he had been in a meeting with the Jesus' name, and he said, Brother Brown, you had a sinner there on. He was the head of the church there, you know. He said, Brother Brown, you had a sinner on the platform last night. Oh, he said, I did. I didn't know that. He said, well, yeah. So that brother so and so. Oh, he said, why, he's a preacher. He's a sinner, brother. He ain't been baptized in Jesus' name. And he said, well, Brother Brown, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just draw you right out of our circle. Oh, he said, brother, don't do that. He said, yes, we are. He said, you're either going to be with them or us. Now, either one. Oh, he said, I'm for both of you. I'm going to stand right in the middle and say, come together, brother. I'm going to hold both your hands.
Hallelujah.
He said, you can't do that. You're either going to be on the for the Trinity or for the Jesus' name. Brother, now he's one. So they ain't even saved. And Brother Brown says, well, I said, we're just going to draw you right out of our little circle, then, Brother Brown. And he said, and I love you, and I'm just going to draw you right back in. I thought that was wonderful, you know. That's the way it is, you know. Many may kind of get offended at us and want to draw us out of the little circle, but let's just draw them right back in again by the love of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I've got some notes wrote down here. I don't know where I could call it a message, but if God makes anything out of it, it'll be a message. Because I was kind of upset about some things on the phone, but I feel good now anyway. Why I said don't let it upset you, and it's not that it upset. I just worry for people, you know. I just think about them, and oh, it's such a mess, and I can't do nothing about it. All thing I do, we just have to pray. Oh, let us just pray. Let's just get our knees and, oh, God, just stay there and call the people's name in prayer and ask God to help them and bless them. Now, getting into the message now, I never have preached on this before in my life, and I'm going to attempt to kind of speak to you a few minutes tonight on the Good Samaritan. And you know, I just love the way Brother Branham preaches. You know, a man one time told me, says, "Well, I love Brother Branham's spirit, but he makes me nervous preaching." And that's Brother Ned Iverson, and boy, he was the hardest man to come to message I ever seen. I wrestled with him for years, couldn't do nothing with him, but I laid right there. I loved him, and God had given me a burden for him, and I seen him. Lord showed me going back into the denomination. I didn't have an interpretation to it, but it showed to Brother Branham. And then Brother Ned come back and repented of that, and he asked God if he'd receive him back, give him a witness of it, and he went back to the denomination. And I used to just stay on him night and day, and I guess I'm the reason that his little church just blowed all pieces, because I was a brother. I was just an oddball there. He was trying to, Brother Ned was trying to have a modernistic Pentecostal fellowship, let the women cut their hair and wear makeup and speak in tongues and worship the Lord and heal the sick and have the manifestation of spirit, and he can't do it. And I knew it, see. I was a young Lord, but I knew better than that. You couldn't have a modernistic Pentecostal fellowship. It holiness is the only way to have it. And he had the learned people there. You know, I'm just ignorant and unlearned, you know. And my presence, it just sour everything, you know. But I didn't know him better. And I just worshiped the Lord and praised him, you know. It just poor little thing, all pieces, you know. But that, I think, will the Lord anyway. Amen. If you can't get it the way the Bible is, it ain't going to work no way.
Amen.
But Brother Ned, bless his heart, he's come into the message now and is going and preaching the message among the different groups. And we certainly praise the Lord. Brother Ned just come to me. He's been down in New York City preaching. And you remember Brother Ned in your prayers. I love Brother Ned. Remember him in your prayers. Now, I had some announcements to make. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. But, you see, that's the way it is, saints. You know, that's why they like to stay in prayer. Now, this afternoon, I was on the phone, and it seemed like got home late, and it didn't work out. You need to be in prayer at least by 3 o'clock and stay right there soaking up the presence of the Lord. Or in my mind, and it gets like that, it just gets all puzzled together because it's not very smart anyway. And see, I know that. I have to trust in God or I'm just doomed. If God don't come to help me, brother, with no education, ignorant like I am, well, I'm just doomed, see. And it just really gets me because I know I've got to depend on it. Now, Brother Gibbs called today. Yes, he called from up in Vermont. And he said that he had a cousin of his that's a Jesus name pastor of a church in Dearborn, Michigan. And his name is Brother, it's a strange name, I can't think of it right now. But anyway, it's his cousin. He pastors a church, a Jesus name church in Dearborn, Michigan. And he's telling the pastor about me today, the little group here. He's going to bring the man by Wednesday, and he wants to be in service Thursday. Now, y'all be praying. See, that's the whole congregation. Pastor over the whole congregation, might be some fruit there. So you be praying for this Thursday night service that the Lord will have his way. Amen. And you call that brother in prayer. Just say, Brother Gibbs' cousin. I'm sure the Lord will know who it is.
Amen.
Amen. I pray his name. But the Lord will know who it is.
Amen.
So you pray for him, a little brother, and God will open up his eyes to the message. He's been reading the books and hearing some tapes, and he seems to be open to the message. So now another thing, let's pray about the Labor Day weekend trip to your sister Sweet's up where the campground is. And please pray about it, let us know about it so that we can kind of be making plans and praying about going up there. If enough would go, well, we wouldn't have service on Labor Day weekend. We'd have service up there. Give you a chance to have a little vacation, weekend vacation, before the kiddies go back to school. Now, I'd like to say in our chain fasting, I believe at this present time, I would, instead of you raising your hands and getting on the chain fasting, we're going to put it on a different basis. We want you to fast in secret now. Now, we've got you started. It's been going on for 3 weeks now. And we would like to try it this way and see if you couldn't fast in secret. I really like that better. I appreciate this open fast among you, and I believe that we can have once in a while a congregational fast, but I do not feel led of the Lord to continue this any further of raising our hands to fast. Because I tell you why, it's all right. Now back in the old Bible, they called fast like they were in battle and everything. They said, don't let nobody drink any water or touch any food in their mouth or just be stoned or shot through or anything like that. And we have 5 minutes of that. But I believe, brother and sister, that you're either fast and see that God says when you fast, wash your face, you know, don't let anybody know about it, and then your heavenly Father will reward you openly.
Amen.
Now God has surely blessed us. He surely blessed us for our fasting that we have done. Now, and I believe that we had more hands than we needed to fast through this week. So I believe that you've got the spirit of it now, and I believe that you, after all, it's your soul, and it's your spirit, and it's your stewardship that God has given you. See, everybody has a little ministry. You're going to give account of it. And so you know that you've got to fast, don't you? You've just got to do it in order to put back that old evil nature and be yielded to the Lord where you can hear that still small voice. You just can't put your feet under the table 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and 5 minute prayer life just won't do it in the hour that we're living in. So you pray in secret now, and you fast in secret. That's all right to everybody.
Amen.
Now, and maybe you'd want to. I know one sister down in Kentucky that fasts. I think it is on a Tuesday. I think it's a precious sister down in the mountains in Kentucky. There, I know real well. She fasts every Friday. Her fast day is Friday. She fasts every Friday. Every Friday, she gives a fast to the Lord. She certainly is a saint woman. So let the Lord lead you in how you want to fast. You want to fast on a Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it is. Maybe it'll be 3 or 4 of us fasting, maybe 10 or 15. But let us fast and let us pray. Brother Branham said, oh, if I could see the bride, get back to prayer and fasting. And God said, you do it in secret and I will reward you openly. Now you do it in secret. All of us do it in secret, and you'll see God reward it right here in the open.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's do that and keep our prayer chain going, and let us really do everything we can for our precious Lord Jesus, who He does so much for us. Now, as I said, I want to try to preach to you on this Good Samaritan. I've never preached on this before, so you pray for me, and I pray that the Lord forgive me. I didn't have much time to spend in His presence this afternoon. Many things to do, but may God help me. I don't make a habit of that. I really do. I try to be along with the Lord as much as I possibly can. So I'm sure the Lord will sometimes, like Brother Russell came over today, we don't believe in working on Sunday either. I mean, if you have to work on Sunday, that's different. But if you can, then we should stand opposed to duty and service and try to be off on Sunday to go to service. But if you get an ox in the ditch, you have to get him out. Now, I had an ox in the ditch, and my car was broke down. And brother come to my aid today, and I sure want to thank him for it. He got the car fixed for me. And so sometimes we are forced into situations we don't mean to get into them. And then if we do it that way, then we believe that the Lord forgives and undertake for us. So now, looking in the... I want to read to you, before I read that text there, a few scriptures over the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed. Listen to that. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Now these are God's sheep he's talking about, see. Neither have ye brought that again which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As thou livest, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. And I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Brother, we're living in that cloudy and dark day, and I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who has sent a prophet, Malachi 4 and 5, in the cloudy and dark day. The Bible said even the evening time would be light, and Brother Branham always spoke of this scripture, says it'd be a day that wouldn't be day or night, but it'd be a cloudy day. And in that cloudy day, God would send forth a shepherd that would seek out his sheep by the word of God, and the sheep would follow the word out, and then God would lead them to green pastures. Amen. I'm so glad for that great prophet that God sent among us, Brother Branham. And we're thankful to the Lord God tonight that there has come a prophet in this cloudy and dark day to bring us evening light, that we might assemble together here this afternoon in this evening light message that has been brought to us by Malachi 4 and 5. And it is not old manna, it is the blessed Holy Ghost manna of the Word of God filtering down tonight to us.
Amen.
And it's still coming up out of those barrels,
yes,
tonight.
Lord.
Amen. Of carrots and potatoes and all of these wonderful, glorious vegetables upon tape that is put in barrel. We are reaching down in there and getting them tonight and opening them up to you. Brother, the Bible has been opened up from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Many things, brother, we could not get a meaning of when we read the Bible. But now after we've seen the prophet has come and the seals have been taken off of the Bible, it is an open book to the believer. Amen. It is an open book to the believer. So blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank him for opening up his precious holy word to us.
Amen.
Now, we have another story I'd like to read to you over in Luke the 10th chapter. And I'd like to speak to you on the subject after reading that first text of God's evening time Good Samaritans. God's evening time Good Samaritans. How can I be an evening time Good Samaritan? That is the hour that we're living in now is evening time. And we have this parable that Jesus spoke of in Luke the 10th chapter and the 25th verse. It said, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Think, what a man like that would try to justify himself right in front of God himself. Who is my neighbor? See, great learned man, lawyer. Now Jesus is going to answer him. Now tell him who that good neighbor is. And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, and when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. God bless that. I love that. Now, as I just read to you over in the book of Ezekiel, shows you a type of a day where God's sheep would be in a place like Jericho. And you know, Jericho, to me, and this passage as I read it, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit getting in my heart toward this passage, to me, Jericho, Jesus speaking here and typing this in the spiritual, I would like to type Jericho here with the denomination. Yes, that's right. Here was a man that had came from Jerusalem that went to Jericho and fell among thieves. Brother, if that is a beautiful picture of today, of how many people, many good, sincere people that's trying to find truth in the hour that we're living in, go out and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they go out here and wander in Jericho to one of these tent meetings, or wander into Jericho, this walled city, into one of those denominations. And when they get in there thinking that they're going to get eternal life, brother, they begin to strip them down and take everything away from them. Amen. Begin to take all their money and then tell them to will over their land to them and their God's servants and give everything you got to me and oh, God will bless you. And then they will. They'll just strip them down and strip them down. Brother, they ain't got nothing left. They'll take everything they got. And they'll just stand there and preach hour after hour on money. Amen. Amen. And they'll just take everything you got and strip you off naked. Amen. And then, brother, you just rise up and say anything to them, and then they'll just beat you down, brother, and wound you real good. You say, oh, here, look here. I just seen right there in the Word where it said that be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh, buddy, they may have took everything you had. You may have gave them everything that you had. But you just tell them one time about how the Bible said, look here, I believe you got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, they'll wound you right quick. They'll wound you and bruise you right quick. And this is the way it was with this man here. He went down to the Jericho denomination, brother, and they had stripped him of everything that he had and beat him up and bruised him and left him laying for dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But now here come a priest by. He didn't have no mercy on him. Didn't have no mercy on him at all. And here another man came by, a Levite. He just passed right by, seen him all wounded and seen trying to find God and everything. And that's the way it is. Oh, you could be hungry for God, and you could be left out there, brother, wounded and bruised in your spirit.
Amen.
I may have given every bit of your bank account over to them Jericho denominations. And just be so wounded and bruised and just wonder whether there is any Christians or any goodness in people anymore or not. How many people have I found that tell you, oh, I went down there, boy, and they told me, they beat me up, and they bruised me, and I never will don a church door again. How many stories have you and I heard about? How many heard all them stories?
Amen.
Oh, my. And they say, I went down there, boy, and they did this, and they did that to me, and I ain't got the heart to go back to church anymore or not. And that's just like this poor man was. It went down to Jericho, the denomination's brother, and stripped him down of everything they had and beat him up and left him out there wounded and bruised and beaten. But here come by a good Samaritan. He come by, and the first thing he did to him, he raised up and said, what happened? Oh, he said, I will come down here to this tent meeting. And my goodness, he said, I had $10,000 in the bank. See? And they said that they was God's servant, and for me to turn it all over to them, and said I thought it was the servant of the Lord, and said then I read in the Bible there where he's supposed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and said they all jump on, just beat me up something terrible, and said, oh, I'm just a bruised and wounded.
Amen.
Boy, and I want to tell you, that little good Samaritan, he did the right thing. The first thing he done, brother, was poured oil into his wounds.
Hallelujah.
If there are anything that will heal some of them spiritual wounds that you get out there in Jericho, brother, a little baptism of the Holy Ghost will heal them all up.
Hallelujah.
He poured it oil. Hallelujah. I like that. Brother, they begin to pump the Spirit of God into him. Tell him how wonderful the Lord is. And God will bless him. And don't be discouraged. There is an evening light. Message has come. There a prophet has come. And they begin to pour in that oil. See? Oh, my. Then after he poured in the oil, he began to give him some of the revelation. Amen. He began to tell him about the... See, the Bible said he poured in oil. And then as he poured in the oil, he poured in some wine into him. My Lord, brother, that ought to heal any wound. That ought to cause any sickness to rise up from that old road. Amen. Brother, he poured in the wine of the revelation and the message to him, and boy, he got him up on his feet. Got him shouting a little bit. Yes. Hallelujah. He said, a prophet's come. Hallelujah. Revelation 10 and 7, all the mysteries of God has been fulfilled. Amen. Malachi 4 and 5 has come. And the rapture's ready to take place. And the move is on for the bride. Oh, he said, you don't mean it. You mean the move's on for the bride. There is a real bride somewhere. He said, oh, yes, here. Brother, the next good thing he done, he picked him up and he put him on his donkey. Hallelujah. He put him up on his beast. And that's the right thing to do, brother. He furnished him transportation down to the assembly, the inn.
Amen.
Brother, he took him down to the inn. He took him down to the assembly. When he got him in there, he brought him in among all the saints. And he turned him over to the pastor. Said, pastor, look at here. I found this little Presbyterian brother over here where I was working. And he's all wounded and bruised. And has leaned up to very cold denominations. And he's hungry for God. And I brought him down here to the little inn for you to take care of. Amen. And he turned him over to the pastor, and then he said, here's 2 cents, and whatever you spend on him, he said, when I come again, I'll repay you a double. And that's just the way it is, brother. Every little man that you can find, wounded and bruised, that's been tossed out of these Jericho denominations, brother, that's bleeding in their spirit, just bring them on your beast, brother, and bring them down here to this little inn, and pour wine and oil into them, and get them all fixed up, and get them ready for the rest.
Oh,
God. Thank you, love, hallelujah. Pour in some wine, and pour in some oil, and get them fixed up. Oh, my, they say, brother, oh, my, I'm so sick of going to these churches. I just don't want to go back anymore. I went down there. Oh, my, to discourage me and my wife, we just don't want to go to church anymore.
Just pour in some love.
Pour in some spirit, brother. Pour in some love and begin to patch up those wounds and give them a little bit of the wine of the revelation this best.
Hallelujah.
And then put them on your beast and carry them down to the end, turn them over to the pastor. Amen. Glory to God. I remember one time, brother, there's a little woman by the name of Rahab. Amen. She was caught in them old denominational walls and couldn't get out. But oh, bless the Lord. The Ephesian church was on the move. Hallelujah. Joshua had got his commission. That's right. Ephesians parallel Joshua. That's what the Bible says. That's what the prophet says. Amen. Ephesians parallel Joshua. And this great Ephesian church under the leadership of Joshua, who is the type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joshua is the Holy Ghost in this hour. Brother, he sent out 2 spies. And amen, they went up there to them old Jericho denomination, and they went up there to spy the thing out. Amen. And here they had God's children all hemmed in there, and the 2 spies got in there and found a little a believer's house by the name of Rahab. And brother, them preachers had heard about these 2 spies coming in to find out about the doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
And they was out to kill them. That's right, brother. They'll kill you every time.
Amen.
And they found out there's our brother they was after him. But the little Rahab hid him up on the house underneath some stuff and hid him. And but oh, how she found grace in the sight of the Lord, because she hid these 2 little preachers that come in to spy out Jericho denominations. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And she confessed it right there, said the men have, the preachers have already heard about this Ephesian church that is on the move.
Hallelujah.
Brother, they've heard about it.
Yes.
They've heard about it.
Yes.
And it said that all these false shepherds here, all of these preachers in this Jericho, amen.
Amen.
Jericho is the denomination as sure as the world. And brother, I want to tell you something. God said in the evening time these false shepherds shall consider this thing purposely. Amen. Brother, they have took all the wool off of my sheep. They beat down these little people that come up to Jericho, took all the wool off of them, wounded them, bruised them, and left them bleeding. And he said, I'm going to require it at your hand. Amen. I'm going to require it at your hand. And brother, little old sister Rahab said all the preachers have heard about this Ephesian church coming across there in the fire with her, coming over top of everything and coming over every bit of opposition that's coming up against them. Amen. That's
amen.
Right. Brother, this Ephesian church is ready to move.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God. She's rolling over every bit of opposition that she comes through. We are on the way to the promised land, brother, and there ain't nothing can stand in the way. How many believe there is in the church tonight? Brother, there ain't nothing can stand before. Brother, not all the preacher's knees that turn to water. Amen. She said there ain't a preacher here that's got any strength left in him. Brother, they've heard about that seed of the serpent doctrine and how God is confirming his word among you, and he said their knees has turned to water. That's
amen.
Right, brother. Now are going to turn to water,
amen.
Don't you think?
Amen.
Brother Branham said, one of these days, you false shepherds, you out there in Jericho, amen.
Amen.
All you shepherds down there in Tucson, you've heard these messages and tapes, and then shut your ears to them. One day you'll reap what you sowed. Oh, thank you. Just wait, brother, till this Ephesian church, brother, gets the Spirit of the Lord begin to move in there among that word, brother, and it's going to turn the preacher's knees to water. Don't you think they didn't turn to water when the prophet walked in, son? They sure did, brother. They think they've got a field day now because it's gone, about like when the Apostle Paul was up in prison. But, oh, my brother, you just wait till the little Ephesian church is commissioned and starts to Jericho. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Brother Rahab said there's not a preacher here whose knees hadn't turned to water. Because they see how God's with you.
Amen.
And brother, they said, now look here. Sister, you just put this little red cord over your window, and that'll keep you safe. You just bring all your children in here because God's going to break down these denominational walls when he comes. And he's going to set every one of his people free in here. Amen.
Oh,
and I believe it's coming as sure as I stand here, brother, that God has got many little children out there in Jericho, brother, and he's going to break down them walls. We find out when that Ephesian church come up there, brother, and surrounded old Jericho, Rahab was ready to come out there. She hung her little scarlet cord down on the window. Got all of her house in there. And oh my, brother, when they walked around that wall, they blowed the trumpet seven times, brother, and let out a shout.
Hallelujah.
And the wall came tumbling down.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And oh my, think of that great vision that Brother Brown had. And he said, God is delivering these people. He said, gates of hell, walls of hell, turn loose at the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they come tumbling down. Oh my, I believe that God is going to call by that Ephesian church, brother, for them denominational Jericho walls to fall down. And
amen.
God's little people is going to come
amen.
Out there. Amen. Amen. They're going to come out there. Oh, and I believe the preacher's knees is going to turn to water to see what God is ready to do in this hour. Oh my, Brother Branham said he had a quarter of a million converts out there in the assemblies of God alone.
Amen.
Oh my, friend, I'm so glad that them denominational walls of Jericho didn't hold me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But oh, if you can run across some poor little man that fell by the wayside, that's been wounded and bruised and beaten and stripped off and everything taken away from him, just pull in some good oil of the Holy Ghost and some good wine of the revelation of the Spirit in him. And put him on his beast, on your beast, and bring him down to the my. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that I am living in the hour when God is going to set his position. This great Ephesian church will call and break down the walls of Jericho, brother.
Hallelujah.
And lose all of God's people out there. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you really believe that, Brother Bob?
Amen.
I sure do. I I believe that God's got many children out there. Yet I ain't saying it's a bride now, but they're children of God. And I believe that there was a number that went through the tribulation. The Bible said that there was a multitude that no man could number.
Amen.
And opened the book of Revelation and said, the spirit of Malachi 4 says come, and the spirit of the bride say. Now it didn't say Malachi 4, but it said the spirit and the bride say come. So the bride is going to have a mouth to say, come out of there.
Amen.
Glory to God. The bride is going to say, come out of there. The children will be partakers of that old Jericho dream. And brother, I'm so thankful that over in the book of Joel, it said that there was a mighty army of the Lord that went forth, that was walking everyone in their own ranks. Brother, it's a mighty army of the Lord raised up, and they leaped up on the wall.
Amen.
And they hit into the windows. And they went in down to the rooftops. Amen. And brother, the land was a burning ash heap behind them and a flame of fire before them. Oh,
amen.
God. I believe that's the Holy Ghost fire in the mouth of the little bride. Say, come out of that flame. Have been our partakers of the evil deeds. And I'll be a father to you. Amen. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Don't let us give up, but brother, let us find every little wayward man that's by the roadside and pour in the oil of the Holy Ghost and pour in some wine. Put him on your knees and rain down the hills and let us preach. Oh, don't you love him tonight? My Lord. Them old Jericho walls came over. They got to turn them loose. While the Bible said that the sound of the millstone, the sound of the prophet, and the sound of the bride was not found in her anymore.
Amen. Amen.
And she wasn't that old Jericho. After God had delivered all the little sheep out of their hands, brother, they wasn't nothing but a bunch. They were nothing but a cage of unclean, hateful birds. Amen. I believe every little thing that's got any spirit like a dove at all would be caught out of that thing, brother, and nothing but old hawks and wicked birds left there. That's what the Bible says. Oh, the sound of the bridegroom. Amen. And the sound of the bride will be found in no longer. So there's going to be a sound of the little bride out there to break down those denominational walls, brother, and set the little people free.
Hallelujah.
Oh, brother, there ain't nothing to heal up a wound like some oil of the Holy Ghost. Oh, brother, you could be so down in your spirit and all just to get to listen to the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost come into it and reveal it to you, brother. Oh, my. It'll just pick your spirit up. I don't care how down it is. It'll pick your spirit up, brother, and cause you to be full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and we're so glad for Jesus Christ tonight that has called us out of Jericho and has let us know about the oil and the wine that we might have something to find up. Listen, that old Levite couldn't do nothing for that man. He didn't have nothing to give him but a bunch of old dead creeds.
Amen.
Amen. No wonder he couldn't do nothing for him. The priest couldn't do nothing for him. He didn't have no money. He sees there they just stripped all of his money away from him. And brother, when they find out that you ain't got no money, when they find out you ain't got nothing, and you're really hungry for God, and you're really seeking God, then they know that you're going to be a troublemaker. And they just ask you right out of the church and leave you out
amen.
There.
Amen. Amen.
How they say amen?
Amen.
By God, they don't care nothing about you. They don't care a thing about you. But oh my, you just pay them tithes. That's what they want. Oh, you just cut them tithes out. They don't care whether you come or not anymore.
Amen.
And you just begin to tell them about the prophet a little bit and see how long you can stay.
Amen.
Oh, you can sit there and be quiet about it, not tell them anything about the wine, the revelation of the message, brother. You can sit there. You just get to tell them about the... They just ask you right out of church and leave you out
amen.
There.
Amen. Amen.
How they say amen?
Amen.
By God, they don't care nothing about you. They don't care a thing about you. But oh my, you just pay them tithes. That's what they want. Oh, you just cut them tithes out. They don't care whether you come or not anymore.
Amen.
And you just begin to tell them about the prophet a little bit and see how long you can stay.
Amen.
Oh, you can sit there and be quiet about it, not tell them anything about the wine, the revelation of the message, brother. You can sit there. You just get to tell them about the prophet coming. Amen. Like little Irma did. Oh, they love little Irma. Oh, my. Oh, here, she can help the young people. That's the way they do. You pay your tithes, Sister Irma, and you get in there and be a worker. See, they'll work you to death. You say, oh, my, I'm beginning to get some wine here. I'm beginning to get some oil here, little revelation here. And the next thing you know, brother, they'll kill you. Oh my, but if they can just keep you there and keep them ties coming in, they'll say, oh, here, we'll make you a teenager leader. Or, oh, here, we'll make you a Sunday school teacher. We'll give you a bigger class. Boy, they'll just offer you anything to keep you there, see? But you didn't, brother, shut off them ties and begin to tell them about a little bit about something you found in the Word. About, let's say, look here, Malachi 4 and 5. Says the prophet will come and turn our hearts back again to the doctrine of the apostles. Oh, yes. Ah, you don't believe that stuff, do you? Like one little Jesus man, brother, just loved his pastor so much, and he was mad at me because I got his mother out of Jericho. Yeah, man, I've been a-stealing over in Jericho for a long time. Hallelujah. Everywhere I could get in Jericho, I get in there. Brother Brown spoke about me one morning on a tape. He said, one of them little boys must have slipped in Jericho with a tape recorder. I said, that's me. Amen, brother. Every time that I could crawl skinny over that wall and scoot in there with that tape recorder and a word about the prophet, I'd do it. But, oh, it'd make them mad. Oh, they'd see these and say, oh, there's a false prophet on his way, and they'd call ahead. Oh, they'd get mad and everything. Oh, this little boy, he was protecting his mother, you know. And his mother said, oh, if you could only pray for my son, I said, he'd be all right. He'd be all right. Well, I don't know. Boy, or did I just commit him to the Lord? Maybe someday I get to meet him. Boy, she just come in. I come in with a tape recorder tonight, and she found her down in Jericho. And one of Jesus' name, Jesus' name, UPC churches. And oh, she loved her church. She had everything. Oh, I said, you Christian, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, ready for action. My, in about 2 hours there, she didn't know whether she even had the Holy Ghost, didn't know whether or not she was even saved.
My.
At 5 o'clock that morning, brother.
Hallelujah.
By 5 o'clock that morning when I said, well, I'll see you, and left my tape recorder with him, brother, it revolutionized the place. Amen, brother. She marched down to Jericho the next day and marched right up to the man that's head of the Jericho there and walked up and said, Pastor, I won't be back anymore. It says 25 years in this church. Paid my tithes faithfully. And I want to tell you some of the other things she told wouldn't be very Christian-like about the great spiritual heads of the church. Well, and said, I put up with all that, paid my tithes and everything, and thought I was in the right church, and says, here to come to find out, some little skinny, bald-headed preacher walked into my house one night with a tape recorder and a tape and stayed there, left the tape recorder and tape, and said, by 5 o'clock in the morning, said, I thought I had everything there was that God had. And said, after he come in there within a couple of hours, she said, I didn't know where I'm even saved or not. And said, I heard more in one night than I have heard in 25 years in the Pentecostal church. And said, I won't be back no more. And brother, she's never been back anymore. Amen. And I moved her up to Jeffersonville under Brother Neville's ministry. Man of God. Amen. I poured in some more. She began to tell me how them old preachers had talked around over and tried to make love to her. Hi, boy, that Pentecostal too, friend. Real attractive young lady. And how they pawed around on her. And oh, boy, let me tell you something. Don't talk about a woman that was fell by the wayside, brother. She was wounded and she was bruised. But oh, my Lord, she was trying to be faithful, paying her tithes and believing that there was a man of God somewhere in that denomination. Brother, I just begin to pour in a little bit of all the Holy Ghost. Begin to pour in the wine, brother. And she loses that old denomination. Come out of there.
Glory to God.
And now she's on fire for God, brother. It's prophet now. Hey,
thank you, Lord.
And brother, it upset the church so bad. It upset the church so bad, brother, that the pastor, oh my, he got upset. My, he got upset. And then her son was so dead against me. Oh my, he was going to protect his mother. That's my mind. Mommy, you've just gone crazy. Oh, mommy, how could you believe a man come in one night and wouldn't believe your church, wouldn't believe your pastor, and all this old damnable thing like predestination and all of that stuff. Oh, mommy, come on back to church. You pray. I've done met something. So, I come in one day to bring you some more tapes, and there he was. He wouldn't hardly look at me. And I said, oh, bless you, son, about 20 years old. Fine, young boy. Fine, man. And I said, how do you do, son? My, I'm glad to meet you. Been wanting to meet you. Boy, he didn't like me for nothing. I had to let his mom astray. And I thought, oh, my. And he began to talk. And I could see it was coming out. Boy, he was going to let me have it. And he said, boy, it's just like my pastor was preaching the other night, saying these people going around preaching that old damnable doctrine of predestination. I said, my, son. I said, that's terrible. I said, what scriptures did he use against that damnable doctrine? Well, they said, there's over. I said, where? Well, now, he said that whosoever will, let him come. I said, come on now. Did he have anything else over there? Well, now, let me say something. I love you. I love your mother. Now, I said, son, look at me. Now, I said, now, could there be, I'll leave. Now, if you don't answer this right, I'll just go on home. We'll take it a few times. I said, could there be a possibility? Yes, a possibility. That your pastor could be wrong. And he's a smart boy, real smart man. I said, well, yes. And I said, whoa, seeing that your soul was at stake, and the Bible said, hold fast thy crown, lest some man steal it, the preacher. I said, wouldn't it be just wise, seeing that your soul, that your mother's soul, if you had read the Bible, see what it said about preaching? Would you take the Bible? Well, yes. I said, would you turn to the book of Ephesians with me? And we turn over the book of Ephesians, you know. And I said, would you read that, son? And he didn't much want to read it, but he got his Bible, you know. Oh, and he began to read. Oh, he come down there where it said the fourth verse, and without blame before him in love having. And boy, he looked like that. Got his Bible like that. His Bible having. I said, what, son? Now let's sit down to our doctrine, that your pastor said. Having what? He couldn't say it. I said, P-R-E-D-E-S-T-I-N-A-T-E-D. I said, I believe that's predestinated. Now I said, would you turn over to Romans 8, please? And then we went through some more. What? Predestinated us to be conformed to what? The image of what? He didn't say nothing before. I said, well, Lord bless you. Now, when I open the door, I said, son, remember, when you go to your pastor, he ain't going to give you no scripture, but he's going to say, Brother Brown's a false prophet. And that's all he's going to say is run Brother Brown down. But you remember what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother, he went down there and walked into his office, opened his Bible, says, Pastor, I want you to read the scripture here. And the scripture. I said, the pastor just got mad. I won't be back no more. Amen.
Now,
brother, he's got a tape recorder and a bunch of Brother Brown's tapes. Amen. Brother, the pastor got so upset, just tore the church out, and he moved to California. If you don't repent, God's thinking out there.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's the way it is today. A lot of people, see, just won't look and see what the Bible said about it. Just let the pastor say it's a damnable doctrine, not be able to line it up in the scripture. And oh, there's so many out there today. There's so many out there today, brother, that fell by the wayside, that wounded and bruised by the Catholics, the wounded and bruised by the Baptist denomination, wounded and bruised by the Methodists, wounded and bruised by the Pentecostals. And oh, that's our little job, saints. That's our little job.
Amen.
If you want to be an evening tide, good Samaritan, find that little wounded person by the wayside and pour in some oil of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And pour in some wine of the revelation. Amen. Put them in your car, your beast, and bring them all on down here to the end.
Amen.
And turn them over to the man at the end here. Brother, and I guarantee you, I won't take the tithes, but we'll just preach the word of God until glory to God and have a big wonderful time waiting for the denominational walls of Jericho to fall down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said, wait for the old denominational walls of Jericho to fall down. Brother, let me tell you something. Those walls of Jericho was big, don't you think they was? Brother, until that time, the only way that you could get over them, brother, was skimmy over them by a rope and slip down the other side. Brother, you better have some papers in your pocket that's got Jericho wrote on, or you ain't going to get in there. That's right, you can't get in there. And they got it sewed up so tight that you got to have Jericho papers to get in.
Amen.
But oh my, God is raising up a little army, brother, that's filled with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Brother.
They're going to go in through the windows like a thief. Amen. And they're going to jump up on the housetop. They're going to leap over the Jericho walls, brother. And they're going to go in there and find the little boy. Amen. Oh, I just love that story. My Lord. The little sheep just sitting there all wounded and blues and bruised and bleeding, but oh, there's something on the way for him. Amen. Don't many people know about what I'm talking about tonight, and it's true anyway. Amen. A lot of them have just forgotten that multitude which no man could number there. Brother, they're just waiting. They're just waiting to hear something, brother. So I believe they'll come screaming out them old denominations before the rapture takes place. I believe that'll be right up just at the very edge of the rapture. Amen. When this voice from the little bride will speak forth and tell them to come out of there.
Amen.
The rapture's ready to take place, and the tribulation is going to set in, and if you receive that mark of the beast, you'll be doomed.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Branham saw a vision in heaven where his converts, multitude, brother, a number that no man could number, hardly. Said they come by the millions and the millions. And let me tell you something. Brother Branham was the end time seed planter.
Amen.
And every meeting he went in through, and his voice went out through there with the word of God. And brother, them people raised up their hands and said, I accept the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, brother, and believing on a life eternal, brother. They were a convert
Amen.
To the Lord Jesus by Brother Branham, see. And they have got to be called out of there by the bride.
Amen.
That's part of the ministry of the bride. It's to call them little ones out of there,
Hallelujah.
Brother, and give them something to hold on through to go through the tribulation. Now, it's too old. It's too late for them to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, see. But oh my, brother, they'll have a message, and they'll have a message that they can hold on to carry through.
Yes.
Amen. Wow, we're living in a glorious hour. Wouldn't you like to be part of that number that could find one of them little ones down in Jericho and say, come out of that? And don't be partakers of their evil deeds. A prophetess, come and vindicate the word of God, and then they'll come screaming out of there, brother. Oh my, God said, oh, the false shepherds would pay for it in that day that took the wool off the little lambs, off the little sheep, and made their own selves fat.
Yes.
How many's doing that tonight? See, just taking the sheep off, building a bigger old building, buying another car, bigger this, bigger that. Oh my, the UPC churches down in Florida is making me sick to my stomach. They had a big wonderful church. This brother did I know his name real well and know him real well. He had a big, beautiful building, but that wasn't satisfying. He had to have the prettiest building in town. Everyone trying to outdo the other and stand and beg for money, RFR. And the people give it to him, RFR. And they build a big edifice that cost, I don't know how many, $100,000. Poor, just a poor little congregation. And now what the miracles mean is how can they bleed all that money out of them poor people? I don't understand. They must pay tithes. They must pay 30% of their income to the church. Is all I figure out, 40%. To build such a building as that. And all that room. They just got to have that big, beautiful building. And brother, I want to tell you something. In Louisiana, the UPC church there had such a program going on, brother. While they stole so many donuts. To get all this built, they stole so many donuts that they run a poor donut man out of business, sir. He had to close his donuts. Amen. He stole so many donuts, had the church going from door to door selling donuts. Now, ain't that that's supposed to be at the apostolic Jesus' name now.
Yes.
Going from door to door selling donuts. My Lord have mercy. Brother the apostle said, brother, let us give ourselves to the word of God and prayer. We ain't gonna. Can you imagine Peter going out and saying, "Now here, brother, go on up to Samaria and see if you can sell some of these donuts. Brother, go on up to Samaria and preach the name of Jesus. God didn't send us to sell donuts.
Amen.
Come to God. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Show me a UPC church doing it.
Crazy.
I know that, maker. Brother, they can make the best donuts you ever dipped in your coffee. Brother, that poor man had to close his... Listen, I'm not joking. I'm telling you the truth. The man went out of business. But bless the Lord, they got the church built. Hallelujah. But the poor man went out of business. A businessman told me that was from the UPC church. He said, and he's a used furniture man. He said, Brother Lambert, he said, it's a crying shame in this city. He said, if that UPC church gets into the furniture business, I'm a gun. I'm a gun, I'll have to close my door. Well, he said, Brother Lambert, I'll tell you one thing.
If I have to have license to sell furniture, he said the city ought to make them take out a license, sell it all in building.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You ought to have to pay tax.
Amen.
Now, brother, that's the apostolic now. Boy. My Lord, suit suppers and tie suppers, bring your pie, bring your cake, bring your this. We got to get this building program going, do something for God. Brother, there ain't nowhere in God's word did he say go build buildings. Nowhere.
Amen.
He said preach the word of God.
Amen.
Tell the truth of God, brother. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my brother. If there was ever an hour to find the little people and pour in some Holy Ghost and pour in some genuine old-time religion by the revelation of God's word.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wish I had the UPC denomination for I'm going to preach to tonight. Lord, if I could cry out, just cry out, probably they may beat me up and run me out of there, but it'd be good to tell them anyway. My. Oh, that's just the way it is today.
Amen.
Suppers, bowling, games, and pie bakes, and everything else. My, they got so many things going on. They work them poor people to death. They work themselves to death. Brother Nixon, doles and pies and everything, see, but they can boil it, they can raise the money. There ain't no doubt about it. They can sure raise the money. Why, you go along the highway now, I'm a camper, and I look and I say, boy, look at that big deal. And I'll get up there a little closer. But I said, my, UPC. Their buildings now across the country, out through the west now, is as big as the Catholics. Catholic buildings. And used to, I remember the Assemblies of God, when I traveled on, they was a little old team building. Used out with the railroad tracks down south. Some little church building over the side railroad tracks is a white board and building. Big old cheap building. Now you see them graves, big orifices, brother. Cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to find Jesus. Find the Word in there, brother. Find the Word in there. No, sir. You bring the Word of God in there and they'll kick you out. They'll kick you right out. Won't they?
Amen.
You just tell them, brother. Tell them about the Word of God and see what will happen. Oh, brother, Jesus Christ ain't coming after that church.
Amen.
He ain't coming after no Jericho denomination.
Amen.
Brother, he's coming after men and women who's filled with the oil.
Amen.
Who is filled with the wine of the revelation of the end time. That is the bride of Jesus Christ and they know of it.
Amen.
Amen. People think that the Methodists are going to go up here and the Baptist and this Assembly of God and Jesus' name here and this one there. And say, oh, brother, what a sad thing that'll be, brother. The little bride filled with the message of the eye.
Amen.
Brother, she's made up word upon word, cell upon cell, line upon line, and line upon line. She is filled with the unadulterated word of the living God and manifesting the power of God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is soon to appear.
Amen.
To all those that have been filled with the oil and the wine, and manifest them off, brother, to the Jericho denominations. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that the little bride has a ministry, and Jesus Christ is going to manifest that little bride to that altar. Men say, well, boy, I want to be in that number. I do too.
Amen.
I am in that number. I got to be in
that number.
Yes. I have to know that I am part of Miss Jesus, the very wife of Jehovah God.
Hallelujah!
Oh, I love just the sound of it. I love those words. And oh, I'm so thankful tonight that I ain't out in a great big old Jericho denomination seeing if I can build a bigger building than Brother Weeks over on the other side of town. Amen.
Oh,
and brother, oh my, isn't it terrible to be in a competitive spirit to start seeing which one can build the biggest building? And my, well, I couldn't fit in that. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't hand out them donuts if for my life. I just don't know how you could do it. Amen. And a brother down there south told me, said, you know what my wife done, Brother Lamb? I said, what's that? She said, do you know that she went and gave $100 to pay that driveway? I said, how am I going to pay that? Oh, boy. That's the way it is. Going in churches, sit down and praise the Lord, brother. Well, praise the Lord, brother. Well, listen, nice brother. He's sitting there a minute, and that woman walked by, squalled at him, get out there and get them kids in here. Now that's the pastor's wife.
I look at Lord, help him.
I thought he didn't have to tell me that. And he did it too, don't you think he did? She's frying that chicken for me, but she didn't like it, man, I tell you that. Oh boy, she was. UPC all day. I don't mean this to be a joke, that's the truth. Get in there! Get out there, boy! And then he didn't look me up in the minutes. I guess that I'd never got to that chicken if he'd looked me up in the minutes, you know, but he didn't get his book. And he asked me in, I was put up there hot. And I said, I seen Jesus' name, Acts 2:30. I said, I love that Acts 2:30. I said, praise the Lord, brother. Are you a brother? Jesus' name? Well, the way to be baptized, brother. Come in, brother. Oh, boy, I got a well. Come in. My, went in, sit down. Ice water, hot. And then, pretty soon his wife come in. He told him, oh, get supper. And, oh, boy, that squall come. Oh, my. I see he's passing this church. And all, I said, preach for me, brother. He wants to go preach. Sure. Old Brother Frank Pacer, I just looked at him face and I was going to step his toe on the And stayed over, and I preached the message. He got up, cried. Oh, they cried. My, they cried. Pastor said, oh, I always wanted to preach that message, but somehow I just couldn't get the revelation out. Said, I've been, God knows, I tried to preach that very message you're ever saying. I couldn't do it. Said, the Lord sent this man by here. The Lord sent him by here. You just went to the wife got to with his boy. She thrashed him good, don't you think? She did. Then the next thing you know, he got up and said, boy, it's something how the devil can come right in among you. Just before God had sent me, and after his wife got a hold of him, the devil had sent me. I said, poor devil. He don't mean to be like that. There's no spirit on that woman. How many did our nation brother went into, brother, and all the women preachers on the platform? How could people, really, that to me, I don't know how a person that's in their right mind could go to a church where a woman preached the gospel. When Paul right all in the Bible says it's forbidden to do. And God's in all this trouble, and God has never let her to preach the gospel. But yet the preachers are hide from them scriptures and let the wife rule the church. Oh, brother, I like a man. Brother, I believe a woman's a real woman. She'll want the man to rule the house.
Amen.
And that's what she got married for, was to give her spirit over to the man and let him care for her every need and watch over and protect her from harm. And she's a fragile little thing. She's a weak, see? She's weak and she's supposed to be cared over by her head, her husband. And Paul said, that's why Paul, he had to say, I forbid a woman to preach the gospel, to usurp authority over a man, not even to teach. But it's commanded to be in subjection, as also saith the law. Paul had to go back to Genesis, where God put the woman under subjection of the husband all the days of her life. Her husband is to rule over her. How do you think that feels for a minister coming to his house and his wife squall out at it? How would you like to move my house? Hear my wife come down the stairs, boy, with a whole five big woman, too. Well, I guess that she'd have plumped the tar out of my man. Get out there and get them children in here. And then me pastor. Well, I just say, honey, just go ahead and pastor. I'd sit down. But now the churches are full of that, brother. Yes. Everywhere you go, yes, you see that. And the poor little people have to eat something like
amen.
That.
Amen.
My, I go in and the church that I went into, where every church that I went to were a woman pastor, brother, you ought to see them men. They ain't the most filthy bunch I've ever seen in my life. My. And that's our, and brother, many a precious Jesus name. Now, we're closer to the Jesus name, believe it or not. If I could have went to any of them, God never let me touch a denomination, but if I could have went to any of them, I'd have went to UPC. But they're the closest. But they are filled with preachers whose wives is ruling the pulpit. It's more predominant among them. And in fact, I don't know what it is, but you can just write that right on the front of it. We went down to Louisiana. I told my wife, I said, now, I don't know enough about that woman at UPC. Sure enough, now, that's where she went. And she ruled her household, brother. She took care of the money. And the poor little brother asked me what to do. I said, brother, when I can't rule my house, that's when I'll do it. And I can't rule my house, that's when I'll do it. And I said, I just can't see that. Well, he said, I don't know what to do. That's terrible. We're living in an hour when that's prevailing in all the churches. And that's one of the doctrines, brother, that caused Brother Branham's message, God's message to Brother Branham to crucify. When he come out, brother, and dropped down on them women preachers, brother, that turned many a preacher away from you. And that is one thing, brother, that the preachers can't take in the South. Now around Hot Springs, the Jesus name, brother, now they're not the same as some of the Jesus name, brother. They're the spiritual bread of life, Jesus name. But their churches are packed full of women preachers. In fact, I had a woman preacher ask me a question. She just said, brother, did I quit preaching after I met Brother Brown and Brother Lamb? But I'm drying up. And she said, I heard this voice that spoke to me. I forget how she explained it. And that was terrible strain on me. I said, well, sister dear, the only thing that I know to do is just to tell you what God said. I said, I believe that God used you. Sure he did, because you was in ignorance. But when you come up and heard Brother Bradman, it shows you had something real. And I said, but here's what Paul said. And here's what he said to Timothy. Here's what it says over here in Genesis. And I said, I'll be praying for you. But she go down there and then all the people say, all right, Brother Bradman, why God will use you. And a man come to a meeting out there and prophesied, yea, I say unto thee, thou art called to preach my gospel, and had three or four children, split up her home, and everything like drove a woman crazy. And yet them old Jericho denominations will do it. Every one of them will do it. All of Jesus' name believing women preachers. Why? Because, brother, they preach against women preachers. Brother, it'll take hundreds of them right out of that church.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Brother, there's so many preachers in the pulpit, as Brother Brown said, got weak bones instead of backbones.
Amen.
Brother,
amen.
I'd rather preach to five right here than to preach out there to 500 and 1,500 and have a $100,000 building tonight. But oh my brother, I'd rather be on Jesus' side than be on that side.
Amen.
Would you
amen.
Be out there tonight and have to run from all them scriptures and make excuses for them? How many just feel thankful? Oh, I'm so thankful that a prophet comes. And well, there's one man that didn't compromise, brother. He laid the axe to the root of the tree.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it caused thousands to turn away from him.
Yes.
Oh, my brother. When the thousands and thousands turned away from him, there was one that was ready for him that just had a little handful of meal in the barrel.
Yes.
Amen. My Lord. And the prophet was sent down to the woman, amen, who her husband had died. Her denominational head had died. The widow woman at Zarephath, her husband had died, and she had only a little handful of meal left. And a little bit old, but in walked the prophet. Said, make me a cake. Make me a cake. And as the Lord God of Israel lives, the meal barrel will never go empty.
Hallelujah.
And the cruise oil will never fail until God sends revival to you.
Hallelujah.
Hey, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're all brothers. That meal barrel has never gone dry, and the cruise of oil has never failed for us. Brother, we still got plenty of oil tonight. We got a meal full. We got a barrel full of meal, brother, all ground up by a special bird, a bird that cut every grain to the same size. Spells out a whole barrel full of meal, proving that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
And the barrel will never fail, and the crucible will never fail, until Jesus sends revival to the little bride. And mark it down, brother. There ain't no denominational Jericho assembly going to receive the revival. Only the little bride.
Amen.
They had their revival, brother.
Amen.
They had their revival, but the little bride is ready to have revival. So, bye. I'm so thankful for a precious brother Dunn. He found a little brother and he poured in some oil into him this morning. Amen. And he poured in some wine and he brought it down to me and found out it was a little Jewish brother. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
A little Jewish brother. And he said, outside, I said, boy, he found reality here. So you pray for me to come back. And oh my, that thrills me when I see the little bride finding somebody that's wounded and bruised, you know, bring him down to the little inn where we can
where we can feed them the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't know how many's out there in these little churches yet. Is that right?
Amen.
Wherever you get a chance to witness for Christ, wherever you can say something for the message, wherever you can see somebody wounded and bruised, brother, that's the one to work on. Amen. Let us just stand our post of duty, brother, and do everything we can.
Amen.
Wherever little saint. Oh, my, I'm so glad I'm here in this little basement tonight.
Amen.
Just think, if it wasn't for the grace of God, when the old Jericho denominations would have caught me out there, see? And I'd have been up there listening to some woman preach a gospel tonight.
My God.
Oh, but it couldn't be. My, it couldn't be. I was predestinated.
Amen, brother.
Oh, my. I'm so glad for predestination, or I might be out there tonight, see? Because
yeah.
I might have been deceived. But God predestinated me to be here tonight.
Amen.
And to believe His Word.
Amen.
Oh, and I'm so glad I don't love that old filthy lucre of money and out there preaching for money tonight and taking all the wool off the sheep out there. And, oh, my. And I want to love the sheep and feed them the Word of God and be a servant to them. Amen.
Amen.
It ain't awful to be a preacher. A harmless preacher. To me, that's a dog. God's dog. That's the lowest creation that God has. And that's the worst thing that God could call you is a dog. And back in the olden days, if they didn't use curse words, but if they was held you in contempt, they called you an old dog. And that's what God called a preacher. A dog. How do you think of that? Any man that let a woman preach in his pulpit and wouldn't line up with the Word of God is worse than a dog.
Amen.
That's right. That's hard word. That's what God said. All of them dogs you can't follow.
Amen.
All tables are full of dogs.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Amen.
Hireling shepherds. Hireling. My. Oh, that's fearful to fall in that category. But I'm so thankful. How many want to be a good evening time Samaritan?
Amen.
You just find somebody, you pour in some oil and some wine into it, and bind them all up. Bind them all up. They ain't nothing no more wonderful. Find a little man laying bruised and wounded, bleeding, and just so discouraged and despondent, see, and just tell him about the Word. Tell him about the Holy Ghost. And bind him all up, brother. Fill him all up with oil and wine. Bring him out to service. Amen. Well, I'm happy to have been with you tonight. And let's open the Psalms book and thank God for His precious Word. Thank you, brother. Amen. How do you feel since Jesus come to your home?
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
You feel good? Let's sing number 95. Since Jesus came into my heart. And Jesus is the Word, isn't He?
Amen.
Came into my heart.
Amen. Amen.